Hey there, Eric Cochran here, and welcome to the Sandstorm Podcast. In today's episode, we're diving into the complex and turbulent waters of the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. As many of you may have heard, Israel has been engaged in a protracted battle with Hamas for the past 6 months. On the surface, it might seem like Israel is winning, with tactical victories piling up. They've killed thousands of Hamas militants, destroyed rockets, tunnels, and other infrastructure. The Israeli Defense Forces, or IDF, have shown their prowess in urban combat, clearing out Hamas fighters from various areas in Gaza. But here's the thing. These tactical gains aren't translating into strategic success. Despite the IDF's best efforts, Hamas is proving to be a resilient and elusive enemy. They're adapting to Israel's tactics, avoiding large-scale confrontations, hiding out and waiting for Israeli forces to move on before reasserting their presence and power. It's a frustrating game of whack-a-mole, and it's wearing on Israel's military. Now, you might be thinking, well, why doesn't Israel just go all in and crush Hamas once and for all? But it's not that simple. Gaza is a densely populated area with civilians caught in the crosshairs. An all-out assault would likely result in unacceptable civilian casualties, something that Israel's key ally, the United States, strongly opposes. And here's where things get really messy. Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has been talking a big game about achieving total victory and taking the city of Rafah, Hamas's last stronghold. But there's a problem. Netanyahu hasn't put forth a quality-clear plan for what comes after the fighting. What does a post-conflict Gaza look like? Who fills the power vacuum if Hamas is destroyed? These are crucial questions that have been left unanswered. This lack of a political endgame is causing serious frustration within Israel's military ranks. Brigadier General Dan Goldfuss, commander of the 98th Division, made headlines last month when he publicly criticized Israel's political leaders, urging them to be worthy of the soldiers and ensure that their sacrifices aren't in vain. It was a rare and risky move for a military leader, and it earned Goldfuss an official reprimand. But many of his troops echoed his sentiments. Reservists returning from Gaza spoke of growing frustration and confusion about the purpose of the fighting. As one captain put it, "I don't have answers to give my soldiers." There's a sense that, without a clear political plan, all these tactical victories are just, well, meaningless. So where does this leave us? Israel is in a tough spot. They've inflicted serious damage on Hamas, but they haven't achieved their stated goals of freeing hostages or eliminating top Hamas leaders. Regime change, as we've seen in places like Iraq and Afghanistan, is a daunting and often elusive objective. And by destroying Hamas's power without a ready replacement, Israel may have actually made things harder for itself in the long run. As the conflict drags on, tensions are rising between Israel and the U.S., and there are concerns that the vital alliance could be damaged. It's a high-stakes gamble, and the clock is ticking. Can Israel find a way to translate its battlefield wins into lasting strategic success? Or will Hamas ultimately emerge, battered but unbowed, to fight another day? Only time will tell. Now, let's zoom out a bit and look at the bigger picture. To really understand what's going on here, we need to go back to the roots of this conflict. The tensions between Israel and the Palestinians are deep-seated and complex, with both sides claiming historical and religious ties to the land. The Gaza Strip, in particular, has been a flashpoint for decades. Israel occupied Gaza from 1967 until 2005, when they unilaterally withdrew their troops and settlers. In 2007, Hamas, a militant Islamist group, took control of Gaza, and they've been the de facto ruling power ever since. Now, Hamas is designated as a terrorist organization by Israel, the U.S., and several other countries. They've carried out numerous attacks against Israeli civilians over the years, including rocket strikes and suicide bombings. Israel, in turn, has launched multiple military operations in Gaza, aimed at degrading Hamas's capabilities and deterring further attacks. But here's the thing. Despite the lopsided casualty figures, with thousands of Palestinians killed versus a much smaller number of Israelis, Hamas has shown a remarkable ability to withstand Israel's assaults. They've used the dense urban terrain of Gaza to their advantage, hiding among the civilian population and using tunnels and other underground infrastructure to evade detection and move supplies. In a sense, Hamas is employing classic guerrilla tactics, and history shows us that these kinds of asymmetric conflicts are notoriously difficult for conventional militaries to win decisively. Look at the U.S. experience in Vietnam, or the Soviet Union's war in Afghanistan. Even when the larger power enjoys overwhelming military superiority, the insurgents' ability to blend in with the local population and wage a war of attrition can be a great equalizer. But it's not just about military tactics. The political dimensions of this conflict are equally complex. Within Israel, there are deep divisions over how to handle Gaza. Some, particularly on the right, favor a hardline approach, arguing that only the complete destruction of Hamas will bring lasting security. Others, mindful of the humanitarian cost and the risk of becoming bogged down in an open-ended occupation, advocate for a more measured approach. And then there are the regional dynamics to consider. The Palestinian cause has long been a rallying cry for the Arab and Muslim world, and Hamas has positioned itself as the leading champion of that cause. By standing up to Israel and surviving its assaults, Hamas has bolstered its own legitimacy and undercut the more moderate Palestinian Authority, which governs in the West Bank. This is a key point because many observers see the involvement of the Palestinian Authority as the only realistic path to a sustainable solution in Gaza. The idea would be for the PA to take over governance of the Strip, providing a measure of stability and a partner for Israel to negotiate with. But this is anathema to Hamas, who view the PA as collaborators and have violently suppressed their influence in Gaza. So in a sense, Israel is caught between a rock and a hard place. They can't tolerate Hamas's attacks, but they also can't completely eliminate the group without risking a power vacuum that could be filled by even more radical elements. And any attempt to empower the PA in Gaza is likely to be met with fierce resistance from Hamas. It's a daunting challenge, and there are no easy answers. But one thing is clear. Without a viable political endgame, Israel's military victories in Gaza will remain fleeting and incomplete. As one Israeli scholar put it, you must work simultaneously on destruction and rebuilding. In other words, the guns can only take you so far. At some point, diplomacy and statecraft need to take over. You know, as someone who identifies as a classic Reagan Republican, I've always had a deep respect for Israel and its right to defend itself against terrorism. The bravery and skill of the IDF are truly remarkable, and I don't think anyone can doubt their commitment to protecting their country and its citizens. But at the same time, I'm deeply troubled by the lack of a clear political strategy in Gaza. Military action without a coherent endgame is like running on a treadmill. You might be expending a lot of energy, but you're not actually getting anywhere. And in this case, the human cost of that aimless exertion is staggering. I keep coming back to the words of Brigadier General Goldfuss, who urged Israel's leaders to be worthy of the soldiers fighting and dying in Gaza. Those soldiers have done their duty with courage and professionalism, but they deserve more than just tactical objectives. They deserve a vision for a better future, a path towards a sustainable peace. Now, I know that any talk of peace with Hamas is a touchy subject. They've committed heinous acts of violence against innocent civilians, and their ideology is anathema to Israel's democratic values. But whether we like it or not, they are a reality on the ground in Gaza, and their influence cannot be wished away through force of arms alone. This is where I believe Israel needs to be bold and creative in its thinking. While Hamas may be implacable, the broader Palestinian population is not a monolith. There are undoubtedly many who are tired of the endless cycle of violence and destruction, who yearn for a better life for themselves and their children. Israel has an opportunity to engage with those voices, to show that there is an alternative to Hamas's dead-end extremism. This could involve economic initiatives to alleviate Gaza's crippling poverty, or diplomatic efforts to empower more moderate Palestinian leaders. It could even mean a unilateral easing of the blockade on Gaza as a show of goodwill and a recognition of the humanitarian crisis there. Now, I know these ideas will be controversial in some quarters. There will be those who argue that any concession to the Palestinians is a reward for terrorism, or that the security risks are too high. And I understand those concerns, but the hard truth is that there is no military solution to this conflict. Israel could reoccupy Gaza tomorrow, but then what? They'd be right back where they were before the 2005 disengagement, policing a restive and resentful population with their soldiers in harm's way and their international reputation taking a beating. At the end of the day, the reality is that none of this will happen until all of the hostages are returned. The initial goal of the complete destruction of Hamas was an admirable one 6 months ago, but that goal is untenable today. Even without completing this goal, I still think Israel has the opportunity to claim victory in this war, but it will have to be done outside of the battlefield. These are just my thoughts, of course, but I hope they've given you some food for thought as we continue to grapple with this complex and consequential issue. As always, I welcome your feedback and perspectives. You can reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks for tuning in to the Sandstorm Podcast. Be sure to check out sandstormdaily.com or visit our Facebook page at Sandstorm Daily. You can also follow me on X at Real Eric Cochran. Until next time, this is Eric Cochran signing off.